1 Thessalonians 5th chapter. Begin reading with the very first verse. I told Brother MacDonald he really hurt me last night. About half his message is what I was going to preach on first thing this morning, so you may hear it again, but we're going to try to preach to you if the Lord would help us. 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, verse number 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Would you pray and ask God to help us preach this morning? Father of heaven, we thank you, God, for your mercy, believing in your God to touch every heart, every mind. It's all right, brother. Believing in your God to anoint us and help us preach your word. God, knowing that you're able to touch, to move, and to minister. In the name of Jesus. The subject of the coming of the Lord is like a family that gets a brand new pet. It's the center of attention for some time. The children always gather around it. They pet it. They take care of it. They watch over it. But if you'll watch that situation, soon the animal, whether it be a dog, cat, whatever it is, it grows older. And the children, they spend less time with it. They don't play with it as often, and they don't pet it as often. And sometimes mom and daddy has to scold them to feed it and water it and take care of it. And as time goes on, they spend less time with it. But that does not mean that they've forgotten about it or that they don't love it. It's just become old to them. Isn't that right? And though we've seen, it seems like of late, the expectation of the coming of the Lord dwindle in the house of God. And it seems like we're living in a time when it's almost a forgotten message. It's a message we hit every now and then when we're preaching, or we think about when we're singing certain songs. But you see, it seems as though the very conviction of the coming of the Lord has left the church of the living God. But I want to tell you this morning, though we do not pet it as often as we used to, and we don't. I mean, I remember growing up as a boy in the house of God, and there was three things you was going to hear in a revival. You was going to hear about the coming of the Lord, you was going to hear about Pentecost, and you was going to hear about sin. Every revival. It wasn't a hit and a miss, but sometime during that revival, a man of God would get up and preach about the coming of the Lord, and sometime another he was going to hit sin, and he was going to preach to you about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, it's not a forgotten message. It's not a message we've lost. But it is a message we don't touch on as often as what we used to. Well, we may not pet it as often as we used to, but if the Lord would help me this morning, I'd like to pet on it a little while. I'd like to tell you, if the Lord would help me, that the coming of the Lord is right around the corner. It may not happen today, and it may not happen tomorrow, but hear me this morning, it may happen today, or it may happen tomorrow. And the coming of the Lord, it is going to happen as sure as anything that we've ever preached, as sure as anything as we ever told. We may slumber, we may sleep, we may act as though the coming of the Lord is not nigh, but hear me this morning, it's time for the church of the living God to realize the coming of the Lord is soon. You see, the empire that the Lord preached this and taught this in has all since been gone. When he stood and told them, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place. And I want you to understand, he was not going to build heaven, for heaven was already a place. For Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. The blessed Son of God was not going to build or to start a building program, for heaven was already there. But he said, I go to prepare you a place. And what he meant by that, I'm going to sit down on the right hand of my Father that I might make intercession. And by the blood of the Son of God, we might everyone have access to that place called heaven. Yes, I can go to heaven. Yes, you can go to heaven because the Son of God said, I go away to prepare a place for you. The early church which greeted one another with Maranatha, meaning the Lord is at hand, or the Lord cometh, thought it would surely, and I mean they really believed the rapture, which is derived from the word raptus, meaning caught up. They thought it would happen at any moment. Apostle Paul said, we which are alive and remain. I mean, he was looking for the coming of the Lord at any moment, at any time. And now we've carried on, the church has, for 2,000 years. And that at hand seems like it's went on forever. And we, the church of the living God, think we're going to live like we're living forever. But I'm here to tell you, friend, all things are not going to exist as they are. There is coming a stopping place when the angel's going to put his foot on the land. He's going to put his foot on the water. And he's going to say, time is no more. He's going to grab that clock of time. And he's going to stop the hands. And there'll be no more time, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Amen. There are three things I want to talk to you about the coming of the Lord. Number one, we need a revival of the coming of the Lord. Number two, we need a revelation of the coming of the Lord. And number three, most of all, we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. First of all, revival of the coming of the Lord. 1 John 3:3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You see, when men are brought face to face with the fact that the Lord could come at any moment, when they really hear that message often like they should, and they realize the truth that no matter where they're at and no matter what they're doing, the Lord could come at any moment. You see, the types of that is some would be on the housetop. He said some would be at the meal. Some would be in the bed. You see, where it may be midnight in one country at the coming of the Lord, it may be 6 o'clock in the morning in another country. One man may be in his bed and asleep at the coming of the Lord. One man may be on his job at the coming of the Lord. But what he was trying to teach us, rather asleep or rather awake, rather on your job, no matter where you're at, the coming of the Lord's going to catch you in that position. Oh, that we would have a revival of the coming of the Lord, that men would realize that he could come at any moment. And if we're sinning, I said, if we're sinning, then there is no hope of changing where we're at and what we're doing. You see, revival comes when men are brought face to face. There is a certain element of fear that grips the heart of a man when he realizes he could be caught in sin or whatever he's doing by the coming of the Lord. Amen. It's like a man working on his job. And the boss says, all right, I'm going away. I'll be back in 30 minutes. Well, he'll walk around, piddle, play. 30 minutes comes nearer. Maybe 5-6 minutes before it's time for the boss to show back up. He goes to back working, you know. Boss is coming. But if the boss says, look, I'm leaving, but I don't know when I'm coming back. He knows at any moment that boss could come back. Just any moment. I had a mother tell me not too long ago, she was a single mom, had went through a divorce, had two boys. And she said, I really didn't have anybody to babysit them, didn't have nobody to take care of them. They were young teenagers. And she told them this. She said, I'm going to leave you at home by yourself. Said, but I'm going to come in every now and then. Said, but I want you to remember something. You never know when Mama's coming. And she said, every now and then I'd break loose from work and just go home and walk through the door just to let them know I'm coming. Woo! Well, the Lord's been gone 2,000 years. He has not made such appearances to warn us. But I'm going to tell you, every time I hear the words, the Lord's coming. Oh, it does something inside of me. It makes me wonder, am I really ready for the coming of the Lord? I mean, it's not a 2, 3, 4 chance thing, but it's a one-time chance. I want to know I'm ready that God would give us revival, that men were afraid of the coming of the Lord. What has happened to the fear of God in the house of the Lord? A day when men were afraid of the coming of the Lord, and revival would move among us because of fear. I'm telling you, I grew up in an Assembly of God church. This is the truth. My pastor preached so hard against television then, I was scared to walk by it in the living room of our home. I'm telling you. Mama was saved. Daddy was not. I mean, he gets to preaching on television. I was scared to walk by the thing. I mean, I was scared of it. He would preach on the coming of the Lord, and I'd go sometimes in the night and look in the room and just make sure Mama was laying in the bed. That's how scared I was of the rapture taking place and me not making it. Come on now. I remember, listen to me. I remember one night, I don't know how I'd done it, but I somehow stayed home from church. Mama didn't never let that happen. But I don't know if I faked sickness or what I'd done, but I was a little, you know. Come on, don't act like you wasn't a little devil. I was a little devil then. Somehow or another, I deceived her. And we lived next to my grandfather, and she let me stay there. He had a swing on his front porch. And I remember that night, the moon come up, and as it did, it was red. You ever seen that before? And I remember the pastor preaching about the moon turning to blood. I said, oh, mercy. I mean, I was a teenage boy, young teenager. I said, the Lord's done come back. Man, I sat on that swing just as fast as I could swing it. Watching down that dirt road, I was looking for that big old Thunderbird. You remember them ones where the lights would flip up? I know some of you younger ones don't, but some of you older ones do. That's what Mama had then. She had one of them Thunderbirds where the lights would come up. I was watching down that dirt road, and I mean, Mama would put the metal to the pedal, son. I mean, she'd drive that big old Thunderbird. About that time, I seen a big cloud of dust coming down the dirt road. And when I seen that blinker come on, turning in that driveway, I mean, I had relief. I said, thank God. And oh, I was a-praying 90 to nothing. I said, God, if you'll have mercy on me, I'll never lay out of church again. I'll never do it again. You see, there was a fear of God and a fear of the coming of the Lord. It made me want to live right. It made me want to live separated. It made me want to do what God would have me to do. But we've lost the fear of God. I said we've lost the fear. Amen. We've lost the fear of the Lord. And His coming is as a thief in the night. No man knowing what moment. You see, He left it that way so we would prepare ourselves. Because He knew if He told us the hour, the day, the minute, we'd wait till a week before. And we'd go to visiting the lost. We'd start praying a couple hours a day like we should. We'd open that blessed book up and read it every day. We'd quit giving the church problems and on. But see, that ain't the way God wanted it. God wanted to leave that expectation that we would stay separated, that we would live right, and that element of surprise would always be looming over the horizon, to know that when I laid my head down at night, I may never pick it up because the Lord may come during the night. Or when I go to my job, I may never come home again. The Lord may come today. Amen. Oh, we need a revival of the coming of the Lord. We need a revelation of the coming of the Lord. Luke 12:54-56, in them portions of Scriptures, the Lord tells all of the Israelites, the children of God standing around Him. He told them, He said, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? I mean, they did not even realize what they had and what was going on at that moment. You see, they had been longing and looking for the Messiah. But yet, they didn't even realize that the Messiah was there. And oh, we're closer now to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. And we act as though we don't even realize it. The men who started out that had not seen the prophecies fulfilled that we've seen in our time preached it so hard and straight and true. They longed for it. They believed it. They expected it. But now here we are 2,000 years later. And we know the coming of the Lord cannot be much longer. We see everything that's being fulfilled around us. I mean, the tragedy that's happened where I believe the death toll I heard this morning is over 100,000 people. I mean, here it is, earthquakes, wars, and rumors of wars. And I mean, men have wondered for ages on end. How in the world will we ever get the armies of the world around that place called the Middle East? And God knew how to do it. For all has pulled the world around that place called the Middle East. And everything is setting up. Everything is getting ready for that great day of the Lord. For that great catching away. God, give us a glimpse and a revelation and a stir of the coming of the Lord. Give me a revelation. Just a little view. Let me grope after it and not grope in darkness. Jesus let them know that they were dull. They lacked discernment. They could not even discern what was going on. Look around you. Look at this world. In a time when the world is in the shape it's in, we're worried about a new car, a new home, more money, pleasure. Come on now, you know it's the truth. We're the blessed. I'm telling you, I don't know of an age. I told somebody the other day, you know, of course they preach that the economy was bad all during the election. Now we find out it's not bad. I knew it the whole time. I had more money than ever had in my life. I knew it was better. Come on now. We're making more money and are more blessed. Do you remember when we used to drive hoopties? If you drive one, don't feel hard at me. I've drove them. I remember when I used to drive a hoopty. It was my wife's car. She had it when we got married. She don't like me talking bad about it, but it was a hoopty. It was. Of course, I had a hoopty truck, and I don't want her talking about it either. But anyhow, you'd hit a bump going down the road and the whole front end of it was shaved. I mean, just do like this while you're driving. So we went to Allentown for a youth service, and Sister McDonald was going to ride to McDonald's with us. You know, Sister McDonald was going to McDonald's with us. Amen. So she was riding in the back, and I didn't want to tell her. She said, I'll just ride with y'all. I didn't want her to, Brother McDonald. It ain't that I love my pastor's wife, but I didn't want that thing to shake while she was in there. I didn't. And there was this one bump on Snow Road down this little hill. Every time, it just about shake your eye teeth loose. And so I slowed down real slow. I said, if I hit it slow, it's probably going to be all right. I hit that thing, and it just went like this. And Sister McDonald said, whoa! I just held my head down and kept on driving. I said, Sister McDonald, it does it every now and then, but it'd be all right. I mean, you know, I'll get back to the coming of the Lord in a minute. Let me tell you about that hootie. The inside doorknob on the passenger side broke. So I'd have to go around and let Chris out, you know. Man, we'd go to church. I'd walk around, open the door, and she'd get out. I'd walk up and, you know, them older men standing on the outside. I'd walk up there. And they'd look at me. Chris would walk in, and the old men say, I like that, son. That's what they tell me. I never told them the doorknob was broke, door handle is broke. Never told them. I mean, them older brothers say, man, you a gentleman. Said, I hadn't seen a young man do that in years. I thought, whoa! Don't tell me God can't bless you. Amen. Don't tell me the Lord won't help you. Woo! I mean, I drove a hoopty. I mean, do you remember the day when we tied up the mufflers with clothes hangers? You remember that? I mean, you'd drag down a road, and you'd get on there with a clothes hanger and tied up. Oh, yeah, that's the way it was. I remember Daddy gave me a truck, and it was that collar shift. And every time between first and second, it'd get hung up. Then I'd climb under the truck, right at the red light or wherever you was. You'd have to get on there and unhang it. I mean, cars coming around, you'd wave at them, you know. I mean, that's the way it used to be. I mean, we used to drive hoopties. We went to Walmart to buy everything. Well, it wasn't Walmart then. It was Rosie's and whatever, TGNY. But we didn't have no money. I grew up in a home. It wasn't wealthy. It wasn't rich. But I grew up in a home with a mama that was looking for the coming of the Lord. It had the power of God in her life. It had the glory of God in her soul. It was a longing for the great day of the Lord. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you see, we've got so much here we're not really concerned about. Because why not stay here? If I get sick, the doctor will fix it. If I need money, the banker will give it to me. I mean, why not stay here? But you see, the Lord never meant for it to be that way. He never meant for us to be satisfied here. He meant for us to ever long and look and pant and desire our heavenly home. He never meant for us to get satisfied with having church like we're having it. He meant for us to get a little foretaste of heaven. He wanted to set us in heavenly places just enough. I mean, He didn't want us walking around in the glory world all the time, because that meant we'd never want to go to heaven. But He wanted to give us just enough of heaven to make us want to go to heaven. But oh, we've learned how to church. We've learned how to shout. We've learned how to be satisfied in this old world. But I tell you, lately my heart has been getting homesick. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of the wickedness. I'm tired of the enemy, and there is a sickness in my heart. There is a longing for that glory world. God, give us a vision. God, give us a revelation of the coming of the Lord. Don't you long for it? Don't you long for it? I love to hear Brother Houston preach on subjects like that. When he preaches on faith, it feels like you can taste it and grab it. And just, I mean, he told me one time I was standing there, he said, Brother Ruth, he said, the Lord's as real to me as you are, and you're standing right there. I believed him. I couldn't help but believe him. I believed him. He could preach on heaven, and oh, it just make you want to go there. I wish I could do that. I can't. I can't make it sound that good. Oh, but that Word of God can. You go to reading about what God's got waiting on us. Oh, yeah. You go to reading about what the Lord's wanting to do for His church. And it makes you go to looking around at what you've got right now and what's here. Come on! All the heartaches and the disappointments and the battles that you face day in and day out. I mean, we look at death and we call it cruel and ugly and mean. We weep and mourn. But that's only a word. I mean, we had to describe it with something, death. Oh, but it's not really death. All it is a change. I said it's a change. For in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I said in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye. This old mortal will put on immortality. It's not like going to the doctor and getting a shot. It ain't going to hurt a bit. It's not going to bother you a bit. It's going to happen in such a way. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful day when the Lord takes home His bride. But we're groping in darkness. We're looking for so many things. And the very thing we need, we've forgotten about. We've left. We've lost. Brother MacDonald last night asked for hands of those that were ready to meet the Lord. We quickly, didn't we? But are we really ready? Are we really ready? How would God give us a fresh revelation? Let us see where we're headed. Let us see where we're headed. Lest that day catch us unaware. I'm not going to preach much longer. I'm looking for it here in our morning speaker. I'm glad he let me preach first because I didn't want all this on me while Brother Crane's preaching. I'm going to hear him so bad. Then last, we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16 and 22 tells us, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, meaning cursed at the Lord's coming. Oh yeah. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, which means cursed at the Lord's coming. If the church is to be blessed at the Lord's coming, it's going to have to fall in love with the Lord again. To prepare ourselves for that great day, we're going to have to fall in love with Him again. We are that church of the end time that has lost her first love. Come on now. I said we are that church of the end time that has lost her first love. Our text tells us, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Is the church really watching for the coming of the Lord? Now you know, I know what some of you kind of pondered that in your mind. It's like watching for a loved one coming back, and you know it's not endless. I mean, I remember the day that Brother MacDonald was preaching our homecoming. And we knew Brother MacDonald, Sister MacDonald was going to stay with us. And I don't know what that does to you, but that just terrified us. I mean, the pastor and his wife. I mean, my wife had so many honeydews, I didn't know if I was ever going to get them done. I mean, I had brushes scrubbing out the cracks and corners. That's coming to town. And so we worked on that place. Everything we could do, we'd done for a solid week. Michael, here's a little bitty old thing. And he waited all that day. He said, when they going to get here, Mama? When they going to get here, Daddy? When they got there, Michael run out and said, oh, we've been waiting on you, Brother MacDonald. Said, Mama and Daddy's been cleaning all week long. That's one time I could have pinched his head off. Amen. I said, oh, come on. Of course, Brother MacDonald may not remember that, but I did. That was one of the worst days of my life, felt like. But anyhow, I mean, it's not like waiting on a family member. You don't just stand outside watching. That's not the way you watch for the coming of the Lord. You watch for Him every day you live. You live your life watching for the Lord. What you say is watching for the coming of the Lord. Where you go is watching. Come on! It is an everyday vigilant. It is an everyday watching. That's what Frank James said. I mean, he turned himself into the governor, I believe, of Missouri. After that, his brother Jesse James had gotten killed. They asked him, why in the world did you turn yourself in? He said, you don't know what it's like to lay in the bed at night with an arsenal of guns around you. That every time a dog barks, you think they're coming out after me. Every time you hear the hoof of a horse, you think they're coming after me. Well, that's the way it is. You live every day of your life in a way that the Lord can come at any moment. I said, you live your life. I'm almost done. When I hear and see the condition of some of our church members, when I see the condition of some of our churches, but yet they confess they are ready. Hang on. I'm going to read you something what James wrote. James 1 and 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth, listen now, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Oh, you got quiet quick. I said, you got quiet quick. So if you talk about your pastor, you ain't ready to go. Your religion's vain. That's what the Word of God says. If you talk about your neighbor, you're not ready to go. Your religion is vain. If you talk about your fellow pastor, you're not ready to go. You hear me? If a man does not bridle his tongue, you see, you can tell the spiritual condition of our church world by what it's talking about. You sense what condition we're in by the way we're talking. I'm going to tell you a good sign of revival and a good sign of a church being ready. When you walk through the doors of the house of God and you hear the hum, that gentle hum of voices that are crying out to God and weeping before the Lord, that is a good sign that the church is ready to meet the coming of the Lord. But when everybody's talking about everybody, it's a sign that our heart is not ready. I said it's a sign our heart is not ready for the coming of the Lord. There's bitterness in your heart, envy or strife in your heart. You're not ready. If you have aught against a brother or sister, you're not ready. If you're rebelling against holiness, the Word of God touched you, but you will not line up, you're not ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, my pastor's Brother MacDonald. I claim him. I'm proud of him. And been a lot of times I'm sure he wasn't of me, but I'm proud of him. Always have been. I'm going to tell you something. If Trinity was preaching against wearing red, I'd quit wearing red. That's just the way I am. Come on now. Oh, he preaches too hard. Well, won't you just go somewhere where they won't preach hard to you? You ain't living right anyhow. You see, when the man of God preaches, he's not doing it to pick on you or to hurt you. He's preaching what he really believes in his heart and what he feels like he sees in that Word of God. Though every standard may not be the same and may not be everywhere just like it is in other areas, when your church stands up to line up to certain things, if you want to be ready for the coming of the Lord, you need to line up. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. That may not be a sin. You may find Scripture say, I don't believe that's a sin. But whether it is or not, there is one thing sure that is sin. When a man or woman goes against authority, when they go against a man of God, whether they have a cause or not have a cause, then it is sin in the house of God. I would that God you'd help me preach a little while. I said, when you go against a man of God, it's sin. I'm almost through. Got one more page, I believe, of notes. Page and one little thing. Hear me, saint and sinner alike. The coming of the Lord is at hand. It's as a thief in the night. One man wrote, return, O wanderer, to thy home. Thy Father calls for thee. No longer now an exile roam in guilt and misery. Return. Return. Return, O wanderer, to thy home. 'Tis Jesus calls for thee. Spirit and the bride say, come. O now for refuge flee. Return. Return. Return, O wonder, to thy home. 'Tis madness to delay. There are no pardons in the tomb, and brief is mercy's day. Return. Return. You may not be right with God this morning. Spirit and the bride says, come. You may not be where you need to be, and you may not be ready to meet God. But the Lord says, come. You can make peace with God this morning. You can rise up from an altar of prayer and say, I am now ready. Not just putting my hand up for a show, but I know I'm ready to meet the Lord should He return today. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray, and then I'm going to turn it back over. Lord, I thank You for Your blessing. I thank You for the great promise of Your return. I long for it. I look for it, God. And I realize, Lord, we should comfort one another with those words. Oh, God, I ask You, Lord, give us revival. before your great day. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen.